sound of Portland.
In tournament camps, opening soon, humongous guillotines are being manufactured in Texas. Food prices will double by this winter of 2012. Damascus will be nuked by atonement of 2010. This is Stefan Yah, and I know what's new. Gentlemen and ladies, let us anticipate our horror. Yes, food prices were supposed to double by the winter of 2012, but probably by the time you hear this message, it will already be the winter of 2012, and prices will have risen a little bit due to inflation. But if they do double by the winter of 2012, then what else is going to double by the year 2012? Wages will possibly lag some, but sooner or later that they will also double. Wages, the price of housing prices, everything goes up. One thing goes up, everything else seems to go up as well. So, not to worry, because if food prices double, so does your wages. And, Social Security could double also until we exhaust our funds, if that is possible. I'm not totally sure that it is. Now, regarding the internment camps, we heard the conservative talk show host, Sean Hannity. I enjoy listening to Sean sometimes when he gets on the agenda about the Republican Party. I could care less, but I used to really enjoy him, 10 years ago. But he did talk about internment camps, so that seems to bring about an aura of impeccability about that they do exist. And someone here in our small town said that there is an internment camp that is heavily armed. It's up out of town, several miles on the railroad tracks, just off the tracks where there is no road access. And if you stumble into it, you die, because the internment camps are heavily armed. All about it. It's just out of town. Well, take a walk sometime out of town, up the railroad track, and see if anything ever shoots, if there's any automatic guns there or anything. I think you'll have to walk quite a ways. You'll probably be out to Utah and then on your way to New York City. And there, somebody may shoot at you, but I kind of doubt this about the internment camps. But it's on the internet, which doesn't make it all bad, because is internet bad, or are books bad, or tapes, or CDs, or is television, newspapers? Well, there's the good and bad there. But so far, I haven't seen any of these internment camps, although there's one reported here about 80 miles away from my location, that in the year 2010 in Sheridan, Oregon, an old prison facility. What it turned out to be, I asked one of my old Navy buddies there about this this huge internment camp. The entrance road is really wide. It is so humongous, and there's these piles of dirt to bury us, and a few Jehovah's Witnesses as well, I suppose, to just kind of throw it in for good measure or something. But there's the huge piles of dirt there, supposedly, that are all piled up there next to this facility. Well, Dave said that my friend said it's just an old prison facility, and they do maintain it. But as far as he knew, that they weren't allowing any Jehovah's Witnesses or Messianics to be exterminated in there yet at this time. Now, that may be so one of these days, way, way, way down the road, or year 2030, or, who knows? Or maybe it'll just never happen, too. I thought that back in the 1960s, when there was such disturbance going on, such chaos, and, the rock and roll culture, the drugs, the black riots, the burning of brassieres, the burning of the American flag, and so on, then it would have been the end of the world. The free sex in the co-ed dorms and so on, then it would have been the end of the world. But that, as far as I know, that still hasn't, the end of the world hasn't happened yet, even though it's been predicted. We're getting to that now. Then I attended a camp there with a certain messianic evangelist who predicted that Damascus was going to be nuked by atonement of 2010, by the fall, so-called. You could call someone up there in Damascus just to double-check the humongous guillotines that are being manufactured in Texas to exterminate the believers and Christians and so on. I still haven't heard of... Oops! And then another prediction that was made, by the way, at that Feast of Tabernacles is that heads will roll. So far, only a few heads have rolled, and most of them, in the corporate offices where people are contending to try to get up to higher there on the post. So thankfully, the heads did not roll, and someday they will. I believe that they will, that the end is coming, that there's a global warming that's coming. Yahweh is bringing a global warming described in 2 Peter. I think it's the third chapter, where the very heavens will burn, and the earth too. It's going to be burned up or purified or something there, according to the Apostle Peter. So let's see, we've taken care of that misconception about the heads rolling, the humongous guillotines, Damascus being nuked. But Yahweh wants us not to be wounded before we are shot. We don't want to be all frightened and everything. He wants us to be secure in the knowledge that he's going to be protecting us as the days get closer and closer to the end. I don't care how credible you are, please don't go around generating panic when you haven't really checked things out. Let's stiffen up. Don't relax. Let's be overly paranoic. The end is October 10th, 1844. No, it's 1914. No, the end is going to be 1972. No, it's going to be in the 80s, according to Hal Lindsey. The end was going to be in 1984, when the planets would be in line there, Jupiter and Mars. But Jupiter and Mars are all right tonight, according to Paul McCartney. 1994, Harold Camping predicted the end of the world. Or what was it then? He changed the story when it didn't happen, just kind of like the 1844 thing. Then he predicted some other dates. Finally, he predicted 2012 twice. He did that in the year 2012, and when neither transpired to be the end of the world or the end of the age or anything, then he apologized. Wow, so he's the Harold Camping. Congratulations. Teacher, once we have bought your $89 survival kit and stowed it away in the attic, let's enjoy the kingdom and get over with it. Let's get on with it and relax. And enjoy the paintings of the early morning, of the fresh air of our master gardener who prepares, fresh fragrance for us every morning. Smell the aroma of the early summer. Smell the aroma. The feast is coming, the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Passover next year. Come and let us return unto Yahweh. Hosea chapter 6. Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. He will bind us up. After 2 days, now 2 days, or 1 day actually, according to scriptures there in the book of Peter, for example, 1 day with Yahweh is 1,000 years. So we have 2 days here, that's 2,000 years. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know Yahweh, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Verse 6, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Yahweh I desired more than burnt offerings. But they, like a man, have transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously against me. But they, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously against me. They transgress Yahweh's law. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity or lawlessness, and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers waiting for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I've seen a horrible thing in the house of Yisrael. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Yisrael is defiled. Also, O Yehuda, he has set a harvest for thee when I returned the captivity of my people. So that diaspora, Yahweh dispersed the Israelites. He dispersed us all over the world 2,000 years ago, practically. Now he's going to be bringing us back. We will return to our place, it says there in the previous chapter. I will go and return to my place. Actually, that's speaking of the Messiah. I will return to my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. But right now, he has withdrawn himself from us. Hosea 5:6. They shall not find him. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek Yahweh, but they shall not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against Yahweh, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. Hosea chapter 7:8 says, Ephraim, now that applies, that's the tribe of Israel, and that applies to most of us because that's the rebellious tribe, so that fits most of us there. Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. There's the old village there that we just, you know, the global village. We gotta unite, have the ecumenical movement. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knows it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knows not. And at least symbolically, we don't know of our sins. You know, we don't know about our own pride. My own pastor, full of pride, full of it. And the pride of Israel testified to his face, and they do not return to Yahweh, their sovereign, nor seek him for all of this. Verse 7:11, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Mitzrayim. They go to Assyria. They talk about love here in Hosea 9:15. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. Uh-oh, that's hate crimes there. Hate speech. For there I hated them for the wickedness of their doings. Yahweh says, the Father and the Son. I hated them for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Oh, yes, but that was way before Messiah died in the tree at Calvary. So now he would just condone all kinds of illegal behavior. No, he's not going to. We can read this whole book here, Hosea 10. Israel's an empty vine. He brings forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he has increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not Yahweh. What then should a king do to us? Because we have no king, so who could hurt us? 11 and 12 of Hosea. Ephraim compassed me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Yehuda yet rules with Yahweh, and is faithful with the saints. The tribe of Yehuda rules with Yahweh. Next verse, 12:1. Ephraim feeds on wind and follows after the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. And then we're going to move toward verse 5 and toward verse 9. Verse 5, even Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh is his memorial. Verse 9, and I that am Yahweh, thy sovereign for the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feasts. Yes, back in 2:11, he says, I hate thy solemn feasts. But here in 12:9, he's going to allow us to enjoy those feasts again. Yes. Let's see, chapter 2, verse 11. I will cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts to cease. Hosea 2:11, that's the bad news. Now the rest of the story, the good news, is 12:9. I am that Yahweh from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feast. That kind of bad news, good news, is also found in Isaiah. I don't see my reference here. I think it's Hosea chapter 1 or chapter 2 there. And then you look, I think, no, it should be chapter 1 of Isaiah. Then you look at Isaiah 66, the last chapter, and he will cause us to keep his new moons and Sabbath days. Nahum 1:15 is another spot to read there about Yahweh's feast days, that people want to put the label Jewish on everything to say as if it's a derogatory thing to be Jewish. But friends, we're all Jewish unless we're Greek, unless we're Gentiles. So our goal should be to lift up Yahweh and his word and to walk in his word and be encouraged to relax and enjoy the freshness of the early morning that Yahweh gives us, the fresh aroma of New Jerusalem is coming. Can't you smell it? Just take time to smell those New Jerusalem roses and artichoke hearts as well at the feast. Gas prices, they can go up, and the weather can change too. People don't like rain around here, but that helps things to grow, but they don't like it. And Yahweh says that if we're not going to obey, that he won't give us any rain. But we want the rain, and we want the Spirit of Yahweh to pour down the rain, the latter rain, pour down the latter rain. Let's go to the book of Joel there and put away all the negative thoughts that we have, our little minor stuff. I think that the minor stuff is worse than the major stuff. It always bothers me about this little thing breaking, or I can't find this, or this bill comes up. Somebody tries to get me to pay some bill that I don't owe. People generate panic and wars. Vietnam was started, actually a political religious situation caused that. It wasn't just what you hear about the oil and so on. A Buddhist priest immolated himself because he didn't want to become Roman Catholic. He covered himself with gasoline and touched off a match. Clinger, sorry, but it wasn't water in there. The civil unrest in Ireland and Southern California, the flag burning in America, the black riots. Ignore it all and stick your head in the sand. Ignore it all. No, we don't want to ignore what's going on around us. But, the definition of worry here is concern about the wrong day, tomorrow. Smell the aroma of Yahweh's morning. Stop and smell the aroma of Yahweh's morning. I think we do need to be mourning. We need to mourn for the abominations. Sigh and cry for the abominations that are committed in our land. Let's go to the book of Joel chapter 2 as we blow the trumpet in Zion here on YahvehYahweh.name. YahvehYahweh.name. www is the radio. No, it's part of the URL, which means what? Universal. I'll forget that. I can't remember now. For the moment, I've forgotten. And that's good. We don't want TMI. TMI means too much information. A lot of silly stuff that just isn't going to, about the cost of tea in China or the cost of gasoline in China is just not going to affect us. Over there in whatever country you're listening to. So, Joel chapter 2, 12, therefore also now saith Yahweh, turn even to me with all your heart and with fasting. What about that? No, we can't talk about fasting in our assemblies, churches. No fasting there. People aren't worth that much fasting for, are they? But we need to do the fasting here and do the Isaiah 58 fast. Fasting and with weeping and with mourning and rent your heart and not your garments necessarily. We don't want to rent our garments. The sackcloth and the ashes, the gunny sacks and all, that's a good idea, But rent your heart and not your garments and turn unto Yahweh your sovereign, for he is gracious, it says, or he is splendid and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness and repenteth him of the evil. Who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? Even a meat offering and a drink offering unto Yahweh your sovereign. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast, or set apart a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Set apart the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Gather the babies there, yes. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber. That's the Messiah there. The bridegroom goes forth out of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Where we were in the prayer closet there, we were preparing for the bridegroom. We the assembly, the bride, I know that's a female connotation there, that we're looking forward to our bridegroom, for our husband to return. Let the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar. Now, it's not just positive things that needs to be spoken from the pulpit, not just negative things, but realistic things, things that are real, that are true, that are righteous, that are of the Spirit. We're not a bunch of stupid clowns and robots. Where's our heart? Where's the Spirit? So we have to walk, listen, and live by the Spirit. Let the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, in verse 17 there, Joel 2:17, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Yahweh. Give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their sovereign? Where is their mighty one? Or G-O-D. Then will Yahweh be zealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, Yahweh will answer and say to his people, behold, I'll send you corn and wine and oil. You shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. I'll remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he has done great things, or terrible things. Joel 2:21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for Yahweh will do great things. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness. Spring, for the tree bears her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh, your sovereign, for he has given you the former rain moderately. I've lived in a town of Salem, Oregon. Oh, man, it rained back in 1969. Oh, I hated that. But I didn't realize that there's a blessing in it. There was such a blessing there. But yeah, it did continually. There wasn't any relief. That was overdoing it, in my opinion, but probably not in Yahweh's opinion, or Yahusha the Messiah, who creates all these wonderful things for us. Where he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause you to come, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. We read there in Hosea 6:2, and we read in Peter about that a day is possibly equal to 1,000 years, but he'll bring the latter rain in the first month, around Passover time, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. Ah, the harvest time there at the end of the summer. 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of Yahweh, your mighty one, that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yahweh, your mighty one, your sovereign, your father, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, all people. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Oh, man, I could use some sleep, I'll tell you. But no, that's speaking of, dream prophetically and in a spiritual way. But, in the natural way is good, too. We need some rest. Get to bed by 9:30, says Dr. Lorraine Day. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Come on, boys. And also going back to verse 2 there, what about that again? Hear this, you old men, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has this been... is that the right chapter? Has this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Well, let's go back to Joel 2:2. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devours before them, Well, I kind of like that chapter 1, verse 2 better. That kind of fit in with all you old men. Have you ever seen anything like it? I've been around and I've seen the end of the world about 3 or 4 times already. At least the predictions of it. And times when I thought I'd never see the end. I never thought it would come to that day. But I think it is. I think we're very close. And the end of the 2,000th year is coming up. At the end of the 6,000th year as well. It's been 2,000 years since Messiah was here on earth. And as far as man's reign on earth, we're coming to the end of the 6,000th year of man on earth. Coming to the 7,000th rest year. So I think possibly the millennium, counting from the time the Messiah died and rose again by the power of Yahweh's Spirit. At 2,000 years from that, it'd be about the year 2030. 2033 maybe, but if it comes and goes, I'm going anyway. I'm going to be gone. That's right, I'm going to the grave because I'll be too old. I'll kind of blow away. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams, and your young man shall see visions. The servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit upon the servants and handmaids. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. This is in Joel here. Turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day Yahweh comes. See Matthew 24:29. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh, so we better be sure what his name is there. Study that. Exhaustive pretty well. And it shall come to pass whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as Yahweh has said, and in the remnant whom Yahweh shall call. See Acts 2:16 and 4:12. And now, at 38 minutes into the broadcast, and I'm wanting to close here in a moment, and tell you that's what's new. Let's see, look around here to some of the comments that might have been made here. I don't get that many emails, but I see some indications of, let's see, in Hebrew, does Shua or Shah mean save, or does it mean salvation? Well, it depends on whether you're talking a verb or a noun or what, you know, what part of the language. But actually, Shah, I wouldn't use Shua, as we've shown that that's a corrupt part of the Messiah's name. People have assigned to that. And it's also probably found somewhere in some manuscript, but I'm not sure of the credibility of some of these manuscripts. I don't care if you spent $5,000 on a Torah scroll and you found Shua in there. I'm just, if it's from Alexandria, Egypt, I got to run from it. Egypt is a place of sin. I'd rather get my manuscript the same place as the King James got it from, Antioch. And some people are going to have a hard problem with that. But anyway, the question was Shua or Shah. Well, please go to our articles there on YahweHYahweh.name, all about the Messiah's name and about the Father's name. There's lots of information there. But it's not the final word. And, I rely upon different sources and documentation, and we just need to search a lot of that out by ourselves. But for the Father, we're using the name of Yahweh, Y-A-H-V-A-H, from the Tetragrammaton, Y-A-H-V-H. And in Exodus chapter 2, I think that's where chapter 3, verse 11, Moses said unto Yahweh, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? And Yahweh said, certainly I will be with thee. And then Moses asked in verse 13, Moses said unto Yahweh, it says G-O-D here, that can't be right, but It's the mighty one or the sovereign one or the... Behold, when I come in unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the sovereign of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? What is Yahweh's name? Verse 14, and the sovereign, or the mighty one, said unto Moses, I am that I am. So he is the self-existing one. I believe that's the meaning of the Tetragrammaton, YHVH, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. I am that I am. And it's going to get even clearer here. Now, that's not in italics. I am that I am is not in italics, so that means that that hasn't been added to make sense by the translators. I am that I am, and he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am sent me unto you. And Yahweh said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, not the Lord, but Yahweh belongs in there, YHVH, so we'll transpose that mentally. Yahweh, the mighty one of your fathers, the mighty one of Abraham, the mighty one of Yitzhak, and the mighty one of Yaakov has sent, see, I can speak a little Hebrew, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So that's one translation says, this is my memorial name, Yahweh. It says right there in verse 15, instead of the Lord, it should be YHVH. If you look that up in your Strong's Concordance, or in a Hebrew lexicon for Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, 315, of the scriptures in Exodus, you'll see in verse 15 that that's supposed to be Yahweh, but the translators put L-O-R-D in there, from Lordos, which is equivalent to Baal. And we proved that too on the file about Yahweh, Y-H-V-H, on our Yahweh Yahweh website. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, Yahweh, the mighty one of your fathers, the of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Mitzrayim, or in Egypt. One of the other questions is, how is I-S-H-I pronounced in Hebrew? Ishi, so that's he's referring there to that passage there in Hosea. Hosea 2:16, we'll no longer call him Bailey, but we'll call him Ishi. So we're going to call him my husband and my master, I think is how that goes there. And right now, while I'm talking, I can't find it. Let's see here. Oh, okay. Yes, I can. See what you can do if you just try? Thank you, Robert. Mr. Boyington. Hosea 2:16, and it shall be at that day, saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi. So I-S-H-I, so it's there's a long bar over the letter I, Ishi. That's how that's pronounced. And shall call me no more Bailey. So you won't call him master anymore, but you'll call him Ishi, my man. We'll call him husband. I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth. The gods, the lords, the JCs, and there shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant with them, and so on. I'll betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. I'll betroth you unto me forever. I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and loving kindness, and in mercies. I will betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know Yahweh. And in that day it shall come to pass that I will hear, saith Yahweh, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. 23, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that has not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my mighty one. So that's how to pronounce Ishi. That was a question there. Then another question from, I think it's from India, is how to pronounce the Vav letter in Hebrew. Well, it would be Vah, V-A-H. And once again, I'm not the expert of experts. So perhaps check with other sources that are a little more learned in Hebrew. How to pronounce the Vav letter in Hebrew? I would say V or Vav. So Yava, Yava is how I pronounce that. And Vav Hey, the H-E would be Hey. Vav Yod Hey, Vav Hey. And there's also a numerical there. Five. No, I better not do that. But we were tying tzitzis, and we put that number in there. 10, 10, 5, 10. Oh, well, I'm sorry. It doesn't come to me at this hour. But and then how to pronounce I-A-S-O. That was the pagan name for the goddess of the sun. And they get the name Iesus. I-A-S-O. Ieso. Would that would be how I would pronounce that. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, about salvation. So I may find that here for you in the book of, I got Zephaniah. Let's see if I can find. And then what's another question? The Feast of Tabernacles for 2012. In Oregon for the lunar Sabbath people? Well, I don't know. I don't do the lunar Sabbath. Another question is, was C.J. Coster, while I'm looking here, Zechariah, what did he want? Yeah, Zechariah. Okay, I got Zechariah. Okay, we'll get to the Coster question here in a moment about whether he was, well, he wasn't a Jehovah's Witness. No, he wasn't, even though Jehovah's Witnesses use Jehovah as a name with a J, and we could use it with a Y, Yahuvah. Mr. C.J. Coster, the author of Come Out of Her, My People. No, I don't believe he subscribed to tenets of the Jehovah's Witness Watchtower Society. So we've answered that question. Two and one there for the price of one. Zechariah 9:9. Okay. 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. So that's the Messiah's name, is having salvation. Yahusha, having salvation. He's the Father's name is in the Son. Having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And so he wanted the Hebrew words in there. So I'm going to have to do that next time, I think. Yeah, I need to get this on the air for you, so I can't look up the Hebrew right now. But I'll do that another time. If you'll be faithful to keep with me and look at the new updated files as I try to broadcast them, then we'll hopefully get to that. I'll break out each and every word for you in Hebrew from Zechariah, or Zechariah, as some people say, 9:9. And the Feast of Tabernacles, I'll have to go grab the calendar, and I'll do that for you. But not for the lunar Sabbath people. I don't know what they do, and I'm not going to study that. I'm just not going to do it. I've already studied the right way, and I can't study every possible other way that there is out there. You know, that I could go out and ask a Buddhist about the Sabbath, when the Sabbath should be. What would be the point in that? Or a Hindu? Or, you know, somebody like me who was a Roman Catholic years and years ago. But I wouldn't know. I couldn't have told you anything at all about the Sabbath day. I just figured that Sunday was it. But what is the meaning of Yava? Well, we did that earlier. We went to Exodus chapter 3. Another question here. Before 1565, the year, was there any J in the English language? Yeah, well, was there any English language would be a question right there. But there was a J. There was a J. That was used spuriously about the year 1000. There somewhere I saw evidence for that. But what is your point? Why do we need to go into that in detail? We know that there was no J back in the days of the apostles. So that's that's good enough for me. You go back to the book of Acts. that they just didn't use a J back there in Jerusalem and back in the separated land. So whether it was 1565 or, you know, plus or minus so many years, it seems irrelevant to me, but I want to respect your curiosity and your scholarship, that you're doing a lot of study there. Praise Yahweh. And let's see, we cover articles about fornication. Somebody from Japan wanted to know about that, so we do articles about marriage on our Yahweh Yahweh website. And here's a comment. Yahweh translated to the Hebrew alphabet. Yes, the Hebrew alphabet, YHVH. Yes, we have the article there, YahwehYahweh.name. In fact, this is from Hallelujah.org. He's got a bunch of scriptures here. Let's go through a couple here. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am Yahweh, that is my name. Of course, he's using the W. I am Yahweh, that is my name. My esteem I give to no other, nor my praise to graven images. Chapter 47, our Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, is his name, is the separated one of Yisrael. 54:5 in Isaiah, Yeshayahu. Your maker is your husband, Yahweh of hosts is his name, and the separated one of Israel is your Redeemer, the mighty one of the whole earth he is called. And we don't use the L here in this ministry. We've studied about that, and I think better to deal on the side of caution. At least 50% of the documentations out there show, the references show, that Elohim was a Canaanite deity. And somebody said, well, it's right here in Genesis, in my Torah scroll. Yeah, but where'd you get that scroll? Where is that scroll from? I'd have a further question. I want to be careful there. But if I get face-to-face with Yahweh and he says, why didn't you use Elohim? There wasn't anything wrong with it, Stefan. I'll say, well, I thought it might have been corrupt. It wasn't? Well, I don't know. He may or may not ask me that question. Isaiah 56:6, and the foreigners who join themselves to Yahweh, to love the name Yahweh, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it. That whole chapter, Isaiah 56. Then Jeremiah 10, for he is the one who formed all things. Yahweh of hosts is his name. Jeremiah 23:26, how long shall there be lies on the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, who think to make my people forget my name, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Ezekiel 39:7, and my separated name I will make known in the midst of my people Yisrael, and the nation shall know that I am Yahweh, the separated one of Yisrael. Daniel 9, O Yahweh, hear, O Yahweh, forgive. O Yahweh, give heed and act. Delay not, for thine own sake, O my Yahweh, because the city and thy people are called by thy name. Amos 4:13, for lo, Amos, yo, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness, Yahweh is his name, or YHVH, or in many of the scriptures it'll say the Lord, but that is corrupt, that's spurious, that was added in there. That was switched 7,000 times. Why did they do it? Well, for one thing, they did it. They changed the name to the Lord, not only because possibly of moral depravity, of their hearts being wrong with Yahweh, their spirits not being in tune, tuned by Yahweh, but they could have been in fear. They were trying to avoid anything so that they wouldn't get any persecution from the Romans and the Babylonians and so on. So they might have been changing these names and trying to disguise and hide their identity to avoid persecution. Well, was that a good thing? No, I don't think they need necessarily. We need to be discreet at times, not tell everybody everything we know, because some people don't need to know that. They don't have the need to know, the NTK, the need to know. But, we must use his name. We're not going to go around using corrupted words for Yahweh's name and corrupted words at all, corrupted titles. Micah 4, 5, for all the people walk each in the name of its G-O-D, but we will walk in the name of Yahweh, our mighty one, forever and ever. That's Micah 4, 5. Zephaniah 3, 9, or Stephaniah. No, I wouldn't say, wait a minute, I don't want to say it's Stephan, that sounds Greek. Stephaniah, with the emphasis on the Father. Stephaniah, or Zephaniah 3:9. Yea, at that time I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech, that all of them may call in the name of Yahweh and serve him with one accord. Yochanan, or John 17:6. I have manifested thy name, now the Messiah is praying here to the Father, I have manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were. In verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. That's why they impaled Messiah on the tree, for blasphemy, supposedly. He wasn't guilty of blasphemy. We're not supposed to disguise, to hide the name of Yahweh. It's not, well, for fear of misusing the name. Are we going to hide his name? No, he said, to publish my name. Tell the whole world. Tell them my name. That's in the book of Psalms there. 55 would be one place. Psalm 22. I will proclaim thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. And also Hebrews 2:12. Psalm 22:22. The Messiah will proclaim thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. No, he didn't hide it, like the superstitious Kabbalistic priests of 1,000 years ago, and even do today, even by changing it to Hashem, which means the name of, instead of using Yahweh's name, the Hashem. So we praise thee, the name of, we thank thee, the name of Hashem. No, it doesn't make any sense. The name of what? But Hashem is the name of what? Hashem Yahweh. Hebrews 13:15, let us continually offer up an offering of praise to Yahweh, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And just because we acknowledge his name, that we think we know what it is, and that we acknowledge it, and we say it, we're vociferous, doesn't mean that we're any better than somebody else who doesn't know the name. Because sooner or later, they could pass us up. We might seem to come short of it while they maintain in Yahweh. And, so this program is being broadcast to our communist enemies here amongst us, as well as to everybody else, because everybody needs to get a chance to be saved, to repent of their sins, to ask for the blood of Yahushua the Messiah to cover their sins, and to be able to call on his name, to be immersed in the water. Yes, everybody deserves to have a chance, and even a second chance. Yahweh, even if we're ceremonially defiled in some way, for example, for the Passover service, he allows us to have it just for Passover. He allows us to have it in the second month instead of the first month, because he is merciful. If we mess up, if we fall into some gross sin, but then we repent, we turn, Yahweh says he will forgive us. And that's an Old Testament concept as well as a new. Psalm 113, verse 16. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh, O you servants of Yahweh. Praise the name of Yahweh. Blessed be the name of Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun, or actually, the day should start at the setting of the sun. So let me turn that around. So I don't know if it should be that way in Psalm 113. From the setting of the sun to the rising of the same. No, it would be from the setting of the sun to the setting of the sun. The sun, S-U-N. The name of Yahweh is to be praised. Yahweh is high above all the nations and is his power above the heavens. Who is like Yahweh, our mighty one, our sovereign one, who is seated on high, who looks down? And there's salvation in the name of Yahweh. We read Joel 2:30. All those who call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. Acts 2:17. And in the last days it shall be, Yahweh declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And it shall be that whosoever calls on the name of Yahweh shall be saved, in the name of YHVH. Other scriptures, Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples or emissaries of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Ruach HaKadosh. The Savior's name is in the Father's name, Matthew 1:21. And speaking of Miriam, the mother at that time of the Savior, she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Yahusha, for he will save his people from their sins. Not in, but from their sins. And Psalm 9:10, those who know the name put their trust in thee. Those who know thy name put their trust in thee. I like that reverent pronoun there, thy, instead of hey you. Those who know thy name put their trust in thee, for thou, O Yahweh, hast not forsaken those who seek thee. Thou hast not forsaken those who seek thee, to keep the proper tense in there, in case my English teacher or friend is listening out there. Revelation 11:17, we give thanks to thee, Yahweh Almighty. The nations raged, Revelation 11, the nations raged, but thy wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding thy servants, the prophets, the saints, and those who fear thy name, both small and great. And Revelation 15:3, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and wonderful are thy deeds, O Yahweh the Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, O King of the ages. Who shall not fear and magnify thy name, O Yahweh? For thou alone art separated, or Kadosh. Thou alone art Kadosh, the Hebrew word there for separated or pure. All nations shall come and praise thee, for thy judgments have been revealed. Praise his name. Praise the name of Yahusha. I thank you for joining us on this hour of getting together here with Yahweh's wonderful people. What a beautiful thing it is. And remember about that concern about the wrong day. That's the definition of worry, is being concerned about the wrong day, about tomorrow. We don't want to worry, but be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, may our requests be made known unto Yahweh. This is Stephen Yah, and now you know what's new.